Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, it's Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Thank you for tuning in to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today as we jump right back into an absolutely riveting interview with a good friend of our ministry, Ken Rupert. This is part two of our two-part interview, and Ken has been sharing five nuggets of wisdom that'll help you survive this COVID situation, even right now. If you missed the prior episode, go listen to it and catch up, because as we're going into this, we're jumping right straight into nugget number two. Here's Ken Rupert. Anyway, let's go to nugget number two.
Nugget number two. Every pearl begins as a grain of sand. Now, I love this one because, you know, when you think about an oyster, why does it create the pearl? Well, it has a piece of sand or a microorganism that gets in it, and it becomes an irritant. And if this last year has not been an irritant to people,
amen.
And they haven't found any irritants in the past 12 months, you know, they're just not alive. Yeah. Because there's been a lot out there to irritate you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what happens is the oyster starts to produce a certain chemical, a certain kind of coating, shall we say, and it starts to coat that grain of sand because it wants to get rid of that irritant. It can't, but it wants to. And as it continues to coat it and continues to coat it, after a while, it becomes almost like a self-generating process because now the pearl starts to become an irritant. But the pearl, to us, becomes very valuable. Bigger it gets, the more value it has. So the oyster is just doing what it naturally does. It just wants to get rid of this irritant, but it can't. So it has to smooth it. It has to coat it. It has to take its irritating properties away. And I think that speaks volumes for us that says when you have an irritant in your life, you know, you may not be able to get rid of it, but you can learn how to coat it and make it less of an irritant and actually turn it into something that's very valuable. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, the theme is about changing. Not what's causing the problem, but how we respond to the problem. So we have to find that coating that the word produces in us and actually coat those irritants, you know, learn how to make it into something valuable.
Yeah.
And that's a trick. But it takes a change of thinking first. You have to start to think differently about this irritant. And then you move forward from there.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And you know, I mean, with people listening right now, like I said, this shutdown and the economic problems and the political problems, all that, these are irritants. So we just need to identify how we can turn that into a pearl, basically.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's something, I mean, there are so many people that I'm familiar with that were hesitant about going online for ministry reasons. You know, I talked to church pastors about, you know, being on the radio station, all that, and I don't know about all that internet stuff. And then, you know, March, April of last year, guess who they were calling?
Yeah.
You still got that radio station? How do I get, you know, because and all of a sudden we were in demand. We didn't have any value for the past, you know, 7 years for them, but all of a sudden they needed these services, you know.
Yeah.
So, it became an irritant, and we provided a solution to their problem of how to continually reach out to their congregation, you know, and we developed a training program for, you know, how to stream online and, you know, and, you know, we show them how to record the program because, you know, they're going down to the church trying to set everything. The pastor could only be in there by himself and he's not technically inclined. He didn't know how to, you know, said, look, why don't you go in and record your program? I'll show you how to put it on Facebook using Facebook Premiere, where it's a simulated live broadcast, but you schedule it. You know, you just load your recording. It's not available till your church time. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, we can do that. You know.
Yeah, it's very. And these things aren't going to stop being irritants.
Right.
Right. They're not going to stop. And I know a lot of pastors that were hesitant to take their offerings online.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Making donations through the website and stuff like that. I guarantee a lot of churches have adopted and said, you know what? It's not such a bad thing. This irritant is really causing us. We have to find a way to code it. We have to find a way to make our message more valuable, especially in times like this when everybody seems to be so disconnected, right? Yeah. We're being isolated. We're being forced to be isolated. Yep. And I think this is a very important aspect of the change that God's bringing about.
Yeah.
And he's doing it through an irritant.
Amen. Amen. You know? Let's go to nugget number three.
Nugget number three. Every piece of coal has the potential to become a diamond. I like this one because it speaks of the intense pressure and heat that it takes to sometimes get our lump of coal, our piece of carbon that life has given us, and change it into a diamond. The process is not, it's not going to be a pleasurable process, right? Imagine the intense heat and pressure, just like a, just like gold is caught up in gold ore, and you have to process it and crush it and put chemicals into it to draw the gold out. You know, carbon is down in the earth, and the deeper it goes down, the hotter it becomes. And then there's this intense pressure, and it creates diamonds. That's why diamond mines, you know, you'll see the diamond mines in Africa. There's these huge holes in the ground because they're digging down to where the diamonds are. And I think that what we have to realize is that life in general, the day we're born, deposits carbon into our life. It's just a natural thing. Where you're born, who your parents are, all the stuff that you as a child do not have any say in, right? You don't get to pick these things. These things are deposited into your life. And, you know, there's many stories out there of where people go from, I mean, look at Dr. Ben Carson, right?
Yeah. Amen.
You look at what he turned into. Now, he's a diamond when you think about it. And he came from all that carbon that was deposited into his life.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, that's a really inspirational story, but there's not, he's not the only one. There's so many people out there who have turned carbon into diamonds through the heat and the stress and the pressure of life that we never hear about. We get to hear about the big ones.
Yep.
But, you know, if you can walk your life and say, I've done good, I've lived the truth, you know, to the family and to the people I love, then you're successful and you've done that, right? So that diamond, it's a very hard stone. It cuts glass. You've heard of diamond tip drills that drill through stone. I mean, it takes a lot to make a diamond, but when you have a diamond in your life, you can plow through a lot of things.
Yeah, amen, amen. And it's, you know, as you alluded to, it's not an easy process, the pressure, the heat. But on top of that, it's just not pressure and heat. It's time.
Yes.
It takes time to become a diamond. People just can't say, well, I'm going to go do this and, you know, I'm going to take this situation, I'm going to turn around and do that. There'll be some that have immediate success. I think they call those cubic zirconium or something like that.
Yeah. Bow diamonds, yes. Yeah, actually, I got a really personal story that kind of goes with this, right? When my son was born, we were excited. We were like, oh, we're going to need new parents, you know, and we didn't even know the gender. We were just happy to have a healthy baby. And then Daniel was born and things went downhill extremely quick. And we almost lost him in utero. They did an emergency C-section. He was in the NICU for, I think, I want to say 17 days. He was scheduled to come home on February 14th. We got him February 16th, I believe, is when he finally came home. And I was angry at God. I was like, how could you do this? You know, I'd promised my wife that this was going to be a good adventure. And it just goes to show you that we don't have any control over our circumstances.
Yeah.
But I mean, talk about this experience, the very first birth of my, you know, birth of my only child, having a special needs child, exposed a lot of the carbon in my wife's life and in my life. And we fought through a lot of things. There was a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of heat. You look now, he's 19 years old. He loves the Lord. He loves to worship every night when he goes to bed. He has such a gentle, kind, loving, empathetic spirit.
Amen.
And I look at what my wife and I have become because of it. The whole financial black belt program is based upon knowing that I was going to need to provide for him for the rest of his life, not just the rest of my life, but the rest of his life.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's driven me and it's created these diamonds. But I'll tell you, the stress and the pressure and the heat, it has not been a fun journey.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord, you know, he takes those carbon that's been deposited into our life and he puts us through that and he molds us into diamonds. And now, you know, our faith is harder. It's almost diamond hard. You know, it's like it can cut through a lot of things. And this last 12 months that we've gone through, the isolation and the uncertainty and the political unrest and all the stuff that's going on, you know, it's only given us, hey, we got that diamond tip. We're just going to keep pounding through, you know.
Amen. Amen.
And God did that. And so we need to take those situations that expose the carbon in our life and deal with the pressure and the stress and the heat and actually let them be turned into diamonds.
Amen. Amen. Let's move on to number four.
Okay. Same rain that washes away the soil in the summer provides a blanket of snow to insulate that soil in the winter. So cold days aren't necessarily a bad thing. Hot days aren't necessarily a good thing, right? Hot days bring storms. Storm brings erosion. Now, some of that's good because the storms will erode away bad soil, leaving good soil. So storms are good, but storms can also be bad if we let them be bad, right? We can allow the storms in our lives to erode away our good soil, or we can just allow it to erode away the bad soil and create a soil that is full of nutrition for the plants that are in our lives. The plants being, you know, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our extended family. Those are the plants that are planted in our soil. Mm-hmm. And I say that because sometimes when our soil is bad, it affects those plants. And I look at life the same way, that, you know, if I'm feeling down, Daniel has a way of sensing that I'm feeling down. And he's actually even come over to me and just rubbed my head. Here's a 19-year-old kid recognizing that, you know, mommy and daddy are underneath a lot of stress, and he's sensitive enough to know to come over and say, hey, you know, it kind of in his own way, it'll be all right. And so the storms are good because they can erode away bad soil. But the snow is also good. The winter is also good because it insulates the soil. And actually, when the snow's laying on top of the grass, even though the grass isn't growing, the roots are still growing. So in that time that the winter is insulating your soil, you can grow your roots deeper. And so, you know, whether it's a snowstorm or a rainstorm, both of them can produce positive outcomes if we change how we think about things and we view it through those kinds of eyes.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, two things I want to talk about the snow. Growing up in Michigan, I learned early on that there's a lot of mosquitoes out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get, you know, a late winter storm in the spring, it cuts down on the number of mosquitoes for the whole year.
Yes. Population diminishes.
Because, you know, they start reproducing and then they get frozen out. But it can't just be an overnight thing. It's got to last like 3 or 4 days to make sure that they're dead. And, you know, we'll be here in Maryland and we'll see a late, you know, frost come through where it's, you know, extremely cold for 3 or 4 days and everybody's complaining. I thought this was spring. I goes, this is great. You know, it's going to cut down on the bugs this year. You know,
bug population is going to diminish.
That's right. And the other thing is, you talked about the insulation factor. You were in the military. I was trained. We went to Alaska. And part of the preparation for going up there was survival training out in the wilderness. Sure. And they taught you, you know, if you're separated and lost, well, you know people are going to come looking for you first. You know, if you're out on patrol and you get twisted around, you're separated, your car breaks down, truck, whatever, they're going to come looking for you. But to protect yourself, you just can't sit in a metal, you know, cab of a truck waiting, you know, for days for someone to find you. So you got to go into survival mode. And what they taught us to hollow out a snowbank, you know, have at least, you know, 6-8 inches of packed snow around you. You know, you got your little cubby hole inside. Doesn't need to be big, you know, let's say, you know, 8 feet long and just 2 feet high. So you can just lay in and crawl out. But if you put one candle. And you know, have your ventilation holes and all that. So, but one candle will warm up the inside of that little cave to about 40 degrees. Mm-hmm. So you're not, it's not, you know, where I'll take all your t-shirt weather and all this, but it's survivable.
Yeah.
And the reason is because of the insulation of that packed snow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, yep.
You know, so it's people are like, what? We had to prove it. We had to prove we could do it, you know?
Yeah.
And they had the thermometer in there, you know, to hang up on the wall so you could see it. And it's amazing because your own body heat is generating heat.
Yeah.
And that little candle will warm any air as it's passing through to give you your fresh air. But it doesn't warm up much. You know, it's 20 below zero outside. It's not going to warm up very much.
But 40 degrees against 20, against negative 20, you know,
That's bomb.
My pick is 40.
Hey, man. The funny story on that, we got out there and we're out in the maneuvers. And I was a platoon sergeant for this particular one that I'm thinking of. And there's two platoons in the detachment that we're in. So the two platoon sergeants and the first sergeant had a GP small tent that we stayed in. But we also had the radio there as well. So we didn't have to worry about keeping our fire stoked at night because that was the radio operator's job, you know, because they rotate in and out.
Yeah.
We set up out in the wilderness as 20, it was 25 below zero the day we arrived and it never got warm. Right. And, you know, we set down the wooden pallets inside the tent for us to, you know, put our bunks on, you know, the cots and all that. Yep. And we walk on without, you know, we were there about 5 days and we were killing mosquitoes inside our tent and it was 20 below zero outside the tent. We had to open up the flaps to kill off the mosquitoes, you know, turn off the heater and open up the flaps because that permafrost started thawing out because it was, you know, 65 degrees inside that tent. And about 3 or 4 days, we were killing mosquitoes inside our tent when it was 25 below zero outside. That was the weirdest thing I ever seen. But
you were doing mosquito population control.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that summer, it wasn't going to be as bad because you just wiped out a whole bunch of them.
not in that little 8-foot section. Anyway,
yeah. Amen. Well, you were trying. You were doing your part.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to number five.
All right. Number five, the same wind that lifts the aircraft slows it down.
Yeah.
So my story is that my father was an air traffic controller. And this was one thing that he used to always tell us when he took us out to watch the planes land and take off is it was weird. You know, and I'm sure I asked this question, Dad, why did the planes take off in the same direction they're coming in? Right. And he explained it to me that, you know, with the thrust of the airplane on the runway, that as they go into the wind actually creates lift the faster they go. So it brings the airplane up in the air, and then it obviously allows the pilot to get the altitude he needs. But when they're landing, they're actually landing into the wind because they want to use the wind as almost like an air brake to slow down their approach. Because once they hit the runway, you know, those planes are going 200 some odd miles an hour. They hit the runway. Now they're doing 200 some odd miles an hour on the ground.
Yeah.
And so they want to come in and they want to have it controlled. And in order to control it, they use the wind as a way to do that. Now, I know that's very simplistic from my point of view because I was a young kid and it made sense to me. It's like, wow. So if I want to take off in life, I want headwinds because those headwinds are going to create my thrust. Or when I create my thrust, those headwinds are going to actually give me lift. So I want to go into the wind. And towards the end of my life, you know, yeah, you kind of, you know, get close to retirement or something, you kind of want to go into the wind to kind of slow down your approach because you want to have a controlled landing, right? And so I just got to thinking about that. These times have offered a lot of headwinds to us.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah.
But, you know, we can use that wind. We can use those headwinds to understand the dynamics. And then right now we can use them for lift. We got to keep the momentum. We got to keep the thrust going because if you back off that thrust, that wind's not going to lift that airplane. Mm-mm. So you got to keep moving forward regardless of how much headwinds you get. And, you know, there will become a time where it's going to be like, okay, you know what? I can breathe now. I can slow down my airspeed. I'm coming in. I want to have a controlled landing. And that's, you know, something that as those who are in their 50s or 60s that might be considering retirement at this time, don't let the headwind stop you from retiring. If you positioned yourself properly, the headwind is actually a very welcome thing because it can slow you down as you come in for your final approach. So and that's kind of where that one came from.
When you're coming in for your final approach, you're, like I said, you're in the wind and, you know, your plane is set up for, you know, efficiency. So, you know, you're flying, you're doing, you know, on a little Cessna, like I was flying, and you're coming in at 100 miles an hour, 95 miles an hour. Right. Mm-hmm. But as you're coming in, you want to start cutting back the throttle, but at the same time, you still have to have lift. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the plane, if you cut back the throttle, you're coming down ahead of the runway, which is not recommended, okay?
Not a good ending.
So what they do is they extend the flaps, which generates that extra lift, but you're slowing the speed down as you're coming in. And, you know, you hit your first flaps, and then you're banking in for your turn to final. And as soon as you complete the turn of final, now you're on final approach, you drop your second flaps. And then once you cross the threshold of the runway, you know, you're now over concrete. You know, you can come mm-hmm. down at any point in time there. Then you hit your third flaps, and then that's what actually slows you down to the touchdown speed. So there's three steps. You're coming in, you know, you're using the wind, but there's actually a three-step plan to put that baby on the ground. And you know, so when you talk about, you know, coming into the wind as you're getting ready to retire, it's just not like, okay, we're going to land this baby, now I'm retired. Now, there still has to be these steps that you have to take in order to achieve that desired outcome. You know, my instructor used to say, anybody can land an airplane, but a good landing is one that you can use the airplane all over again.
That's right. No, that's really a fascinating explanation, because, you know, in the financial self-defense, I teach about the process. It's not just you do this, right? It's you do these other things. You accomplish your objectives on your way to accomplishing the goal.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, your goal is to land the plane and be able to use it again, right? So you got to go through the steps. It's the same thing whether you're coming into retirement, whether you're going through a financial, the financial times that we've just gone through, if you're struggling right now. You know, there is a way. You don't get so focused on the end goal, right? I often say, you don't execute the goal. You execute all the objectives that lead up to accomplishing the goal. So you execute the objectives, you accomplish the goal. And it's the same thing that I think we can apply to this, you know? The goal is to take off. Well, then I want to head into a headwind. I want to put thrust into it. I want to keep going forward. And I'm going to get that lift and I'm going to go up. Mm-hmm. And there's steps involved in getting to that point, right? And just as you so beautifully articulated, there's steps involved to making a successful landing.
Yeah.
And whether you're taking off in this, like you're thinking about starting a new business, or you want to kind of get back on, you're starting a new job, hopefully the economy will start clicking again for you. Now it's time to take those steps to learn financial self-defense, and then you'll get to that point where you'll have, you know, the financial offense. And so when you get to the point of wanting to make that landing, you'll be able to
Amen.
Use those steps in bringing you down on a safe, secure, and landing where you can reuse the plane. I love the way you said that.
I think I misquoted. It's been so long. I believe the actual quote he said was, a good landing is any landing you can walk away from.
Yes.
A perfect landing is one where you get to use the airplane all over again. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, okay, we're about out of time. Let's talk about your books for a few minutes. How many books have you published?
So a myriad. I'll highlight certain ones. Like I have one out there that I started with called Simple Wealth Building Strategies.
Okay.
Simple Wealth Building Strategies looks at the mindset of wealth building. So it's not the math, right? Nobody has to get caught up in the math of it. It just gives you the principles that you should consider as you begin the process of either building or rebuilding your wealth. The second one is obviously the Financial Black Belt Academy's Financial Self-Defense Training Guide, which actually is the belts, white belt through black belt. And it tells you what goal, strategic goal, what strategy to use to get there, and the financial principle that you're trying to accomplish. And it's really spelled out for you. So those two are kind of the wealth building books.
Okay.
And then for some who are questioning, kind of more wanting to dig deep, right? Wanting to go through the steps that we just talked about, all these five principles, they want to dig deep inside themselves. I have one called Empathy, which really tells the story of my son and how he's taught me how to be empathetic, not just sympathetic, but how to be actually empathetic. You know, one of the things that I realized as a special needs child, he can't step out of his world and step into mine. In order to be empathetic, I have to go into his world. So that book kind of outlays that. Then there's one called The Plan, and that's actually for pastors or church leaders or spiritual leaders who want to build a community of empathy within their organization. So this really breaks down the whole concept behind relationship and purpose and all this, the components of really building empathetic relationships. And then the third book is God, I Was Wondering. And this is where I actually went to atheists and agnostics and said, just imagine that God exists and you were able to ask him a question, what would you ask him? And so I actually got back a ton of questions. And so then I went through and with the help of the Holy Spirit and diligent prayer, I actually attached kind of, it's not theological in the doctrinal sense, but it is using the Bible to logically explain what God's doing and how he may address this question. And in the two books I'm trying to finish this year are The Black Belts, which is strictly the financial one, and then God, I Was Wondering Too, which actually takes up 32 more questions.
Wow.
And I'm addressing that. So those are my two challenges this year.
Praise the Lord.
Those are my books. They're all out on Amazon. There's many more there. I've got a couple poetry books. I've got a couple other books on strategic goals, how to maximize your income, things like that. They're little 100-page books. But the ones I highlighted here are really the big ones that I think can really help us through these kinds of times that we're facing.
Amen. I'll put links to all those down in the show notes. Ken, we are all out of time for today, my friend. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Obviously, my website is financialblackbelt.us, and they can go there and just fill out the contact form and make mention that they'd like to either talk or do an interview or something like that. And that is the best way to get a hold of me.
Amen.
It really is. My email is financialblackbelt@gmail.com. So they could also email that address, financialblackbelt@gmail.com, and I respond to those emails too.
Outstanding, outstanding. I want to help you to get the word out about your services. And they say the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time is today, right?
Yes.
And I believe the services that you're offering, it's going to benefit someone, even though it may not help them today, at least the seed will now be planted that it can grow into something. And I believe everything we've seen happen has convinced people to take, it's time to take some type of action for the future, because you just can't count on what used to be is always being there.
Amen. It's true.
Amen. Folks, I encourage you to go down the show notes, get in touch with Ken, order his books. He said these books are on Amazon. All you gotta do is click the link. I'll put the links down in the show notes. Click the link, order the books. These are gonna be so beneficial to you moving forward from whatever is right now to what can be. Don't rely on others to tell you what it's supposed to be. You need to seek God, seek his advice, and seek people like Ken who can help guide you on the path you set. Ken's not going to say, okay, this is my goal for you. No. You have to set these goals for yourself. And then Ken can assist you in getting there. Amen. Ken, I appreciate your time today, man. It was so good catching up with you. And God's blessings upon you and everything that you're trying to do to help others get through those trying times at work.
Thank you. And you know what, Bob? When I release the next book, maybe we can talk about that.
Amen. Absolutely. You've got an open invitation, man. Every time you come on, I always learn something else. And if I'm learning, I know our listeners are learning too. Amen.
Excellent. Amen.
Glory to God. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Ken Rupert, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.